Welcome back to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with Tim Henney. We were just speaking with Jonathan Baylor, the set point diet. Now, Dr. Jennifer Haley believes our skin is a window to our internal health and as the largest organ in our bodies. She says it's a lot about how well we're functioning as a whole. Dr. Haley says many people erroneously believe that their genetics determine their health, but the truth is the way we choose to live and the choices we make regarding smoking, eating, exercise, stress, exposure to chemicals will play a much greater role in our internal health, which will be evident by the condition of our skin. Dr. Haley, always great to have you back on The Mountain Life. Good morning.
Thank you. So great to be here.
Happy New Year.
You too.
Well, let's start there because I have to say I see people who have lived in the mountains at, 7,000 feet for many decades whose skin is beautiful, olive skin without wrinkles. And I compare them to my skin, and I've lived in this dry, high elevation, geography most of my life. And I go, oh, what? How do you not have wrinkles? And I do.
Well, I know this is radio and I'm sitting here looking at you, so I would choose to disagree a little bit. I think you look pretty good. But I mean, going back to the genetics versus, what we can do about it, there's intrinsic factors, which are time. We're all going to age over time, and then genetics. And we used to think that played a huge role, but it really doesn't. It only affects about 10 to 20% of the rate at which we age. So we're all aging, but the rate at which we age is going to be determined by our external or extrinsic factors. So how we take care of our skin externally, what we choose to put in our bodies. And food plays such a huge role, as well as supplements, which I know you guys just touched on in the previous interview. And we think about medication. If we're sick, we take medicine by mouth, but we don't think about all of the food we're choosing to put in our body, whether it's alcohol, whether it's soft drinks, whether it's something artificial. And if you're drinking a soft drink or you're eating something that's artificial, the body spends an exorbitant amount of energy to break down those chemicals to extract the nutrients that it needs in order to repair itself and recover from all the activities we do in Park City. Exercise is important because that's going to increase the blood flow to the skin, to the organs, and the skin is the largest organ and it represents what's going on the inside. So if it has good blood flow, it's getting oxygen, it's getting nutrients, and it can repair and recover and do what it needs to do to maintain itself. So we just need to support the body in taking care of itself.
Right. As you were talking, it reminded me of a book interview that we did some months ago, and we got so many inquiries about it, and it's called Quench, and I think it appealed to so many people because there are people who feel like they drink water all day, but it, for some reason, it's not really quenching them. They're still dehydrated, and a lot of that would then surface in the skin. I think if you're dehydrated, obviously your skin's going to be more wrinkly. You're going to have that where it stays up on your hand after you pinch it.
For sure.
So talk about that, about really the liquid we put in our body.
Absolutely. I mean, water is the best liquid you can have, and that's what your body wants. That's what it craves. And I have a general rule of just drinking enough water so your urine is clear. And if your urine's not clear, it's still trying to detoxify from the kidneys and it needs more water in order to get through that. But we talked about this last time a little bit with the skin. The skin isn't as simple as just having water in it. We also need to have healthy fats. So a lot of people on these low-fat diets, they're just not looking healthy in the skin. So I'm a huge advocate, especially this time of year when you're skiing and you don't really want to take a break. I just carry a lot of nuts with me because nuts are great. High, healthy fats, olive oil. There's a new one I discovered called algal oil. It's from algae. It's A-L-G-A-L. And it has a higher cooking point than olive oil. So you can saute and roast with it, which is really nice. and it has some different benefits from avocado oil and olive oil. And then avocados are another favorite, as well as cold water fatty fish that are wild, not farm raised. So those are the things I try to get, at least one or two of those a day. And our skin is made of these lipid bilayers. So you have fat, water, fat. So if you don't have the fat, the water is just going to dissipate and go into Mother Nature and evaporate into our dry environment. Whereas you have the fat there, it's going to hold it in more. But we also need to moisturize from the outside. So skin is a little different from other organs where you just take care of it nutritionally and, you know, all the other ways. But with the skin, we need to feed it from the outside as well as from the inside.
Jennifer, when you were talking a moment ago about people who drink soda and what our body has to go through to metabolize the beneficial properties from the toxic properties and all the energy that we expend, I couldn't help but think, who drinks soda? And is it just my little view of the bubble of Park City? I mean, I don't see people drinking a whole lot of soda in Park City, but maybe you do. Maybe I don't see kind of the broader Park City community and what's being consumed. My view is a lot of people drink, you know, kombucha and drink water and are fairly healthy and intentional about what they're putting in. And what, and soda is just an example, kind of in general, very intentional. But you've worked all over the country, and maybe you have a different view. And I'm sure Park City's not the same as the rest of the country, because even within Summit County, we have great diversity of you know, views on nutrition and food. But what do you see right here in Park City?
Right here in Park City. So I think it is a little bit of a bubble. I mean, we're fortunate to be surrounded by that, because I think it's contagious when you have people around you that are healthier. But I know the previous interview mentioned kombucha, and you do have to check the labels, just like with yogurt.
Yep.
If you're looking for probiotics in your diet and you want to add yogurt, you need to check the sugar counts. When you're seeing 23 grams of sugar, no, not the benefits don't outweigh, you know, the negatives to it, because you really don't want to have sugar spikes in your bloodstream, whether it's for your metabolism or your skin, because it leads to inflammation in the skin, acne, rosacea, all the things we don't want, even inflammation in the joints, right? Nobody wants that either. So, but soda is a huge problem, especially with children in the United States. We're finding that high fructose corn syrup, which is in a lot of processed foods, is the number one cause of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And they're seeing that in children now, diabetes. Wow. And, you know, so having that awareness and, you know, when we get to a certain age, we really care about our nutrition and the quality of our nutrition more, because we see the effects. But when you're younger, not so much. So, I mean, sharing that wealth of knowledge with children is just life changing and forming for their futures.
And I wanted to follow up with the supplement discussion that we were having in the previous interview. And then when you walked in, you were talking about vitamin D. And it's interesting, because my blood work showed that I was deficient in vitamin D. And I was kind of surprised, because I spend a lot of time outdoors. And I was thinking, and the doctor said, you know, you would have to spend so much time outdoors. It's kind of like the spinach thing. You'd have to eat so much spinach to get, you know, the protein. You'd have to eat so much red meat to get the L-carotene. And you have to be outside for so many hours that it's impossible to do for most of us. So are there, I mean, vitamin D is a great example of how we have to supplement in order to reach healthy levels of certain vitamins. Are there, is that a unique one, or is that kind of across the board for vitamin and supplements?
That it's pretty controversial. There's a couple points. Yeah. So let's talk about vitamin D. So vitamin D, I mean, if you were in Hawaii and you had large areas of your body exposed, and we touched on this in the summer because we had the sunscreen discussion, if you had your back and, you know, your torso exposed, maybe 15 minutes, three times a week for someone who's very fair skin would be enough vitamin D for them to, you know, make it. This time of year, with maybe your hands or your face being exposed, there's no way you're going to get enough vitamin D from the sun alone. And then the other issue is, as we get older, after about age 30, 35, our body does not convert the vitamin D from the sun like it does when you're younger. So in the paleo days, or the caveman days, when they were living to 35, 40, they didn't have vitamin D problems, but we're living much longer. I mean, well into our 90s and even, you know, past 100. So we need to supplement. And we were discussing, as far as dosages, I love 5,000 IU a day. it is a fat-soluble vitamin. So you can theoretically double or triple the dose and then skip a couple days and take it with some fats, some healthy fats, not, you know, fried or processed fats. And it stores in your body, which is really a nice way to, you know, kind of manage it. But the best way to do it is to take somewhere around 5,000 a day. I know we mentioned that we sometimes will take 10,000 a day, and that's fine as well. No one's ever overdosed on 10,000 a day, but I wouldn't go higher than that because more isn't always better. As far as other supplements, I know in Arizona, our water is really heavy in copper, and copper pushes zinc out of the bloodstream. So I need to supplement people with zinc there often, and that will often clear their acne just by supplementing them with zinc, which is anti-inflammatory. But once again, you go too high with zinc and now you displace iron. So you have to be really careful with the dosages and maybe have some blood tests measured before you start dosing yourself. But I mean, I have safe dosages that I put on my website for people to try out and see if it helps. So for zinc, for acne or for inflammation, you know, rosacea or something, I'll usually recommend about 25 milligrams a day. And that's something I think we need to supplement because zinc, magnesium, those are really low in our soil. We don't rotate crops, so we're not getting those from our vegetables that we used to get years ago when we actually, you know, farmed a little bit differently.
Are there others on the top five list? I mean, you mentioned magnesium, zinc, and vitamin D. And we've talked to people that have mentioned other supplements that they think are kind of critical to building that foundation of good health.
Yeah.
Are there others that you would add to your
list?
Those
are my top three, yeah, for sure. And then I usually will add fish oil.
Mm-hmm.
And you really need to look at the quality of the supplements you get. So with vitamin D, years ago, they took different vitamin D supplements, like from Walmart, Costco, Whole Foods, just different places around. And they actually measured it because it's not regulated by the FDA. It's a nutraceutical. It's a vitamin. It's not a drug. And it didn't have what it said on the label. So I always recommend people go to a high quality place that they kind of try to source the best mm-hmm. supplements. You really get what you pay for. And with fish oil, I look for EPA plus DHA equivalent to 2,000 milligrams a day. So it'll say 2,000 milligrams, but you have to flip it over and see DHA, EPA. And one is a little bit more for brain development, one's a little bit more for heart, but you really want both. And then the fifth thing I do is probiotics. Probiotics is so controversial. There's so much research going on. We know we need them. It's best to get from food, kombucha, sauerkraut, you know, all the kimchi, all the foods. The more, the better. The more variety, the better, because we haven't really isolated, like, what exactly do we need. But the more variety, the better, especially if someone's on antibiotics during the cold season. Mm-hmm. You need to hit it hard with probiotics and, you know, some natural organisms, healthy organisms, to kind of outweigh the bad stuff afterwards.
You've mentioned a couple of times how important it is to read labels, and you mentioned it with the sugar content. And I'll just say that, you know, that's something that really shocked me, is I would pick up something that I had assumed was going to be very healthy and low in sugar, and reading some of those sugar levels, 11 grams, 20 grams, mm-hmm. 30 grams, I was really astounded. So even not just sugar, but also with nutrients, how important it is to be aware of what you're putting in your body.
Yeah. I mean, and your palate changes as you lower the sugar count. Your palate changes and other things like celery start to taste sweet for you. But going back to labels, a couple of things that I've noticed over the last year are that soybean oil and canola oil are two oils that are very inflammatory, very cheap, very subsidized by the government, and should be avoided. So, I mean, even at high-end grocery stores, you need to turn around, read the label, look for sunflower oil, olive oil, avocado oil. Those are what you want to look for. You want to avoid canola and soy, especially with the GMO stuff going on. So,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Dr. Jen Haley. She is a board-certified dermatologist, and I might add that she doesn't practice here in Park City, but we're lucky enough to have her come and visit because she is a part-time resident. You practice in Scottsdale, is that right?
In Scottsdale. I do a couple things here, and I've been here almost every other week.
Hallelujah.
It.
Well, we might we might see you practicing here. but it's always fun to have you come in. And you know, I think it's pretty interesting that so far in this, you know, the last 15 minutes, we've only been talking about what you put in your body to affect the health of your skin. And again, you know, that just hits home the point that your skin is only going to be as healthy and as vibrant and as glowing as what you put in your body.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, well, let's go to the outside. Let's go to the skin. And a little bit ago, you mentioned rosacea and acne. And I would say that, you know, some of us are lucky when we were teenagers going on that the crazy roller coaster of hormones that we came we came out sort of unscathed, but we've all had a bit of acne in our lives. So what makes the really horrendous acne versus those of us who, you know, just don't get that much of it?
So I think of acne, I put acne in two different categories, typical teenage acne and then adult acne. And they're very different and they need to be treated differently. So with teenage acne, there's really four main causes. There's oil, because of the hormones in the body, all that testosterone and the hormone changes make the skin more oily. And then instead of the skin naturally exfoliating, all of the skin cells get stuck and plugged in the pores. And then when it's stuck and plugged in the pores, what happens is it becomes inflamed and trapped underneath, and then it kind of explodes in bacteria form. So some of it is genetic. If your parents had severe acne and required, you know, extensive treatments for it, then you're more likely to have acne no matter what you do. So I hate to blame people like, oh, you need to change your diet, because that's not always the case when it comes to acne. Although what we're doing is we're studying these populations around the world that have zero acne, and we're looking at their diets, going back to diet again, and we're finding that high glycemic or high sugar content in the diet is highly linked to acne formation. So if someone doesn't want to go on antibiotics, which will just reduce the inflammation really, and I'm not a big fan of, or Accutane, then we will discuss going on a low glycemic diet. So anything that's in a package, potato chips, even pasta, your body's so smart, it breaks it down into sugar very quickly, and it causes a sugar spike, inflammation, lots of plugging, lots of irritation of the follicles. And the other thing, I have a lot of people have problems with dairy. So not yogurt, not cottage cheese, not, what's the one that kefir, not kefir, but milk, especially skim milk causes a problem. Whey protein. I see it in a lot of, exercise, you know, exactly, athletes, and, dairy can cause a huge issue for people. So I'll usually cut those two out, add a little zinc in, a little fish oil, a little probiotics, and people often come back and they've lost weight and their skin looks glowing. Mm-hmm. But that's not always the case for some people. They do need to go the medical route.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you about the exfoliation. I didn't know about exfoliation until I was well beyond my teenage acne years. Is there sort of a preventative way to deal with acne where if you're constantly exfoliating, nothing gets trapped?
Yeah, you have to exfoliate properly. So with exfoliation, there's two different types. There's mechanical exfoliation, which you can use a device like a Clarisonic device, one of those little vibrating devices like the toothbrush, but it's in a brush form for your face. Or you can use a chemical device, which is like glycolic acid or salicylic acid or lactic acid. And as far as physical exfoliation, you could also use like those apricot scrubs. I'm completely against those because they make angry skin and they don't really properly exfoliate. They just irritate the pores. They'll swell up. They'll feel soft right away. But then the next day, all of those cells are getting trapped underneath, and it's just not a long-term solution. It's a short-term, you know, therapeutic, good feeling for a long-term problem. So what I would recommend in an ideal world, which I do in my kids, is have them use a salicylic acid cleanser. Neutrogena makes one. You can go to a medical office and get a higher grade one, but typically you can find 2% salicylic acid cleanser, wash it on the face, use one of the exfoliating brushes, and get it into the pores, and it kind of removes that junk from the pores in a non-irritating, non-aggravating way, which I think can certainly help, you know, for focused areas of the face. It becomes sort of a job if it's everywhere, but for the face, it certainly is helpful.
I don't think my face has ever been exfoliated, unless shaving counts.
It does.
Not to. Yeah.
It does, believe it or not. It does, and there's something called dermaplaning that we do in women now, where a little blade is taken, and it removes the wispy hairs from the face and the dead skin. So men are doing that every day, and I think that's one of the reasons why men don't have as many wrinkles, because they're constantly doing that light exfoliation, which sends chemical signals down to the deep layers of the skin where the stem cells reside, and that revs up the motors to make fresh skin. So you're having more skin turnover when you stimulate the skin, as opposed to where you delicately don't want to touch it every day.
Well, there's some good news. I mean, here I was thinking I'm going to have to start exfoliating in addition to eating my green smoothie every day. Jen, talk about sleep, because I'm a big fan of the 8-hour sleep program. I think that's one of the things that is really important in my life. But you touch on and think you cite sleep as a very critical and important factor.
It certainly is. It's something I personally struggle with. I'm sort of high energy, excited to seize the day is how I phrase it when I wake up at 5 a.m. without an alarm. But I do believe it is very important. And we know that there's two reasons to wash your face, for instance. So you wash your face at night to remove all the dirt that you've accumulated during the day, makeup for women, but you wash your face in the morning because at night when you're sleeping, there's completely different cellular metabolic processes that are regenerating, renewing, recharging, kind of cleaning out everything so your skin can start fresh in the morning. So you'll notice there's dirt on your face at night and you think, I washed last night. But if you take a toner to your skin, you'll see the dirt, and that's your body. Your body's amazing ability to kind of just clean it up, purge it out, get rid of it. So if you don't sleep properly, you're not going to have that going on. The other problem, if you don't sleep, you're going to have very bad hormonal disruption. Your cortisol levels are going to spike, and it's going to cause, you know, weight gain, inflammation, acne breakouts, all the things we don't want. So sleep is super important, and being on a regular routine.
And so if we do get our proper sleep and we wake up in the morning and we want to cleanse our skin, what do you suggest you cleanse your skin with for the best benefit? I mean, I'm sure splashing a little water on doesn't do enough, and taking something that's really abrasive does too much. But what do you recommend?
So it depends.
A mild soap?
I mean, for most people, especially around here, if they're an adult, I recommend a mild soap. I'm actually a little lazy in the morning. So what I do is I take a toner, you know, depending on if I want exfoliation or not, I'll choose the name brand of the toner. And I get these little exfoliation rounds. I think you can get them at Rite Aid or Walmart, anywhere around town. And they're just cotton rounds that have an exfoliating edge on it. And they're not exfoliating or harsh, but they'll remove a little bit extra. And I put a little toner on there, just swipe it on my skin, rinse off, brush my teeth, put a layer of something on, and then sunscreen, and I'm out the door. So it doesn't have to take a lot of time to get the job done.
Well, and I was going to ask you about, you know, then preparing yourself for the great outdoors where we're at minus something degrees this morning. And, you know, I would be up skiing today, except
it's
just way too cold.
Definitely. So I agree with that. So I like vitamin C with an E, because that's going to help prevent some of the oxidative damage from the sun and the radiation at this elevation. And then sunscreen. So zinc oxide, SPF 30 or higher is what you want to look for with sunscreen. More is going to be better, because we are going to be, you know, sweating and, you know, wiping our face. And then I do a barrier cream. I mean, yesterday it was so cold. We were on the slopes at 845 and it was cold. So I'll get the Vanapply or Aquaphor and just apply it all over below my eyes. And, you know, typically it's not going to break you out. In teenagers, it could be a little bit sensitive, and just put it around your mouth and your lips at that point.
And those aren't petroleum products, right? I mean, Vaseline is petroleum, right? So you don't want that.
It is. So,
and I don't even own that, but it just seemed when it was so cold.
I know.
So Aquaphor.
I like Vanapply is a really good one. I think I gave you guys those last time in the little packets, just because there's no chemicals in it and things like that. And you can get that at pretty much anywhere. Sometimes you have to ask the pharmacist, but it's Vanipply, and it comes from the Mayo Clinic, and it's just a tried and true brand that's been around a long time. Very, very clean, very non-toxic. So that's what I like on my face.
We have What time always flies when you're with us.
I know.
We're almost out of time. But a quick question, because I heard this horrifying story about the acne medication. Is it Accutane? Mm-hmm. How it triggers some mental health issues. It can do that if it's not the right... I don't know. I know that it's very intense. And just someone related a story to me about that. And I was amazed.
I remember you telling me about this. So it's been FDA approved since 1982. And Accutane is the name brand. Now there's all these generics. There's no name brand anymore. And it's basically very, very high levels of vitamin A. That if you took that much of vitamin A, you would fry your liver. So they clean it up a little bit, but it's still very high vitamin A. I have personally been using it since 1999. And I've had three cases where people will say I got in a fight with my girlfriend more, I'm having anger outbursts. And it's just, that's very little compared to the thousands of people I've treated with it. Mm-hmm. So it's just like any medication. Yes. You have to have an open line of communication, dose it properly. So what we often will do is I'll stop it, have everything resolved. Sometimes it's situational, sometimes it's not. Warn them about it beforehand, and then maybe start on a lower dose. And the cool thing about that medication is it doesn't matter what your daily dose is. It matters how much you put into someone's body. So if someone wants it for 4 months, we'll give a high dose and accomplish the same thing we could accomplish in 9 months at a very low tolerable dose. So I've been using it for a long time. I think it's just an amazing medication that prevents scarring, but it has to be done properly.
It's pretty amazing. On another young person, I saw it was miraculous how it got rid of the acne.
Yeah, it's just the right thing for the right person is what you need.
Right. Well, Dr. Jen Haley, thanks so much for joining us. It's great to have you back. We'll check in again in the summer.